Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Welcome, everyone, and I am so glad you could join us for today's show. And I want to say that today I'm going to talk to you guys about a topic that I think is incredibly important. It's going to be about us diving into a little bit of scripture, and we're going to jump into something that I think is incredibly relevant right now and that the Lord put on my heart to speak. So we're just going to dive right in. But before we do, make sure you hit that follow, subscribe button and give us a like, as we love bringing you that amazing content that you guys love and that we feel so blessed to share with you. So today we are going to speak on 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 15, because this is where I think the rubber meets the road right now. And we're seeing a lot of movement with people. We're seeing a lot of things happen. We're seeing people come into Christ. We're seeing really a shift politically in our country right now. And, you know, that doesn't mean every person is, but in a general sense, we are. We're seeing a lot of people open their eyes to God. And I think now's the time that we need to really speak about this thing. But we need to give some context that I think is incredibly important so that we always keep our eyes fixed on where God wants to lead. And so here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a trustworthy saying, worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for this very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible, the only God, to be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, he's been talking, first of all, he's talking about correcting false teachers, and he's talking about he kind of gets into different types of sin and all these other things, and he's been preaching about that. But then he talks about the grace that God showed him in this particular chapter. And he calls himself the worst of all sinners. Now, I want us to think about this for a minute, okay? And I want you to think about everything that you've ever read in your history books, okay? And everything that you know about humanity. And think about, who are the people that have been kind of considered the worst sinners, okay? I mean, obviously, there are historical figures that have committed horrific atrocities that we would assign that to, okay? That, you know, you may have your list. Everybody probably in their mind sort of has a list of what they think who those people are. But Paul puts a stop to all that and calls himself the worst sinner ever. I want you to think about that. He was the worst sinner of all time. We're going to take this in a few directions. Number one, Paul being the worst sinner of all time tells us something. He calls himself that. And why does he do that? Because he tried to commit genocide against Christians. And completely destroy the church and completely destroy the name of Jesus Christ. That's what he was trying to do. And he was not only a willing participant, he was the instrument, and he was the guy behind the scenes, and he was the guy in the middle of it trying to get this done. He was leading the charge as a Pharisee. He was a Roman citizen. He was connected to both of those entities, and he was driving a charge to completely destroy every person connected with Christianity and destroy the name of Jesus Christ. At a time when the church was in its first kind of infancy stages, at the very most, it was a toddler. I want you to just take that in for a minute. Paul is the worst sinner of all time compared to anybody else you know. Anybody else you think has been a sinner, Paul is the worst of all sinners. He even calls himself that. So we have to believe the word of God, and we have to understand that there's been a lot of horrific atrocities. I'm not downplaying those, and I'm not saying they're not horrible too, because they are. But Paul is the worst sinner of all time. And yet God chose to save him. God chose to save him. God is showing his immense power, his immense grace, and how his cup is overflowing with mercy towards us. If he, the God of the universe, whom Paul was trying to destroy his son's name and everything that his son had done to establish it, everything his son was about, if Paul was out to do that and God chose to save him, that means God's power, his mercy, and his grace is available to all of us. That's right. If he saved Paul, who's the worst sinner of all time, that means no one is outside the reach of God. No one. God does not desire for anyone to perish. And guess what? Since we have the Lord Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we trust in the word of God and we trust God, then we have to think the same way. You see, we need a cultural shift even inside the church in that every person, no matter what their sin is, I don't care if they're living a lifestyle of where they're glorifying sin. I don't care what it is they've done. Every person on the planet deserves to hear the gospel. Now, we can flip that around and say, actually, nobody deserves it, okay? Because in our flesh, we are so evil and we've sinned and rebelled against God. But God chose to save us, and if he chooses to try to reach one of us, then we all deserve it. That's right. We all deserve to hear a chance to be saved. We all deserve that, okay? And in our minds and in our hearts, we need to always look at other people, no matter, they may be combative, they may be a person you don't like, they may be a person that you can't stand, okay? And you just have a hard time accepting that person. You know, you kind of look at them a little bit differently than a normal human being or a person who has needs and has issues because all you've seen is an angry, mean side of them, but they need Jesus, all right? And we need to see it that way. Every human being deserves to know the gospel and at least a chance to be turned. Like I said, in one sense, nobody deserves it. But in the other sense, since he's reached us, we should be reaching other people too. We should. Paul is the worst sinner of all time, and God chose to save him. That means God is not outside the reach of anyone. No matter what you think, no matter how hopeless you think it is, God brings hope to every person. And every person who's never received Jesus still needs to hear the gospel. And we need to be open and attuned to that. if Paul calls himself that worst sinner, then that means everybody else falls in a category in between perfection and the most horrible sin. So everybody else falls in between because and God chose to save Paul for that reason. Think about all the things that God did with Paul. All right. He will become in many ways the greatest apostle because he will reach so many people. He'll be the apostle to the Gentiles. He'll be the one that really carries the message far and wide. Over half the New Testament is his writings. And so he really sets the tone of much of the New Testament and much of what we believe in our theology and the way that we approach Jesus Christ and the way we think of him and the way we think about our faith. And God chose to use Paul in this way. And God chose the worst of all sinners of all time to do this through. I think it's amazing. It's an amazing story. And so we need to take that in. Now, another piece to this is that since God chose the worst sinner ever to do all this through, that also means he can use you. That's right. You know, we don't have to be somebody who has a doctorate degree or be somebody who has this massive, amazing theological background or has went to seminary. We are all called to ministry. Every single one of us. You're called to ministry. You are. And I think sometimes we get caught up in it's just pastors or it's just in missionaries and like they're called to ministry and all the rest of us are just quote lay people. No, we're all called to ministry. We're all called to evangelize and we're all called to disciple. Every single one of us are. That's right. Everybody's called to all of this. Hey, he called Paul, who was the worst of all sinners, and he's calling you. He's calling me. He's calling all of us to be sharing our faith, to be openly admitting that Jesus is our Savior and how you can receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You know, sometimes I hear in churches and stuff, I hear pastors say, hey, just get them in the door and we'll take care of it from there. And that type of, that's no. You do it. You know the person. You're standing right there in that moment. If you are listening to the power of the Holy Spirit, you're the one that has the relationship. You need to be the one to share the gospel with them. As a matter of fact, I saw a stat one time. It said that of all the people you invite to a church, less than 10% will go. And less than 10% of them will receive Christ in that church. But if you share the gospel, those odds go up by like 5 times. That's why you need to be the one learning how to share your faith. You see, if God uses the worst of all sinners, then you also need to learn how to do that because God can use you too. See, his mercy runs deep and his grace is overflowing. It is. Paul shows us that in his letter to Timothy here. And he shows it throughout the scriptures. And there's other writers of the scriptures that also show this as well. And see, we are all called to minister. We're all called to bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think it's important that this day and age, that with all the technology we have, with all the things we do, you probably sitting there going, I don't know if I can do that. I don't, you know, I'd be embarrassed. I might say the wrong things and all that. Let me tell you something. It's first of all, it's not hard to learn how to share your faith. But number two, there are so many tools out there that we can help you with. I mean, I have tools and we've got our books getting ready to come out that will have all this stuff. And there's so many organizations that have that kind of information. I'm going to say it this way, though. The hardest part is just learning to break the ice. And it's really learning to let the Holy Spirit show you how to do that. It's learning the power of the Holy Spirit to show you how to reach that person. And where does that start? By you starting by praying for them. That's right. How many times in Paul's letters do you see him mentioning praying about people or praying for people or my prayers for you or, you know, him insinuating prayer? Yeah. say we need to be praying beforehand. And I think that's such a big piece of this. So I'm just going to kind of list this in order. The number one thing you need to learn to do is to start praying for people and ask God. If you're not sure who, just ask God to show you. All right. Ask the Lord to start bringing people in your life that you can share your faith with. You can share your testimony. Number two, you need to really understand your own testimony. Learn to understand it. Learn how much God has done for you. Not just for Paul, but for you. I mean, if he chose to save the worst sinner of all time, then he wants to save everybody in between. That means no amount of sin, no amount of sin is not, there's not a any amount of sin that somebody has ever committed, ever, that God cannot still reach that person. Let that soak in. There's not any amount of sin that a person has committed that God cannot still reach that person. In your mind, you might even be saying, hey, do they deserve it? Well, guess what? In a way, nobody deserves it. But in another sense, we all deserve it. So again, we got to be praying for God to show us people. Number two, we got to pray for those people when God shows us that. Number three, we got to start listening to the power of the Holy Spirit and learn our own testimony. Number four, we need to learn how to share the gospel, which is not hard. All right. You can learn that probably in 1 hour. So it's not really hard. And there's so many tools, again, that you can use. And then number five, just sensing the prompting of the Holy Spirit when to share. That's really it. And it could be evangelizing. And then it could be that this person already knows Christ, but they need to be discipled. That's right. And learning in you yourself, be discipled and then learn to disciple. That way you can learn to disciple. So you should be being discipled and discipling. And so we need to make sure that we're doing those things. And I'm going to say this, we're going to be providing a discipleship program for you guys to be able to jump on and do this. You're going to be able to be discipled and then learn how to disciple, learn how to share your faith. And I'm telling you, your testimony is incredibly powerful. Paul's testimony was amazingly powerful. It set an entire agenda that would, that is still alive today. I want you to think about that. Okay. I want you to think about that. So the power of your testimony is amazing, and it shows the richness and the abundance of God's power and his richness of his mercy and the overflowing of his grace. Think of grace being inside of a cup, and that grace just keeps pouring over the cup because there's so much. That's how much God has grace for all of us. It's always overflowing. So, and Paul is making that point here. Okay. He's making that point in 1 Timothy chapter 1. So understanding that from this, just from this reading, we need to be willing to share our faith. We need to learn how to do that. It is so important that we're speaking boldly. We're first, you know, again, are we praying to God to show us people, then praying for those people? Then do we know our own testimony? And sometimes you just got to pray it out and write it out. And then knowing some techniques of things, just how to share the gospel, which is, I can tell you simply, it's really four key components. It's God loves us and offers a wonderful plan for our life. Because of our sinfulness, we're separated from God. And that sinfulness is rebellion against God. And as a result, that separation means we can't connect ourselves to God. So what does God do? Well, the third thing, he sends Jesus Christ, his son, to live the perfect life, to prove who he was, and his shed blood, death, and resurrection connect us back to God. But it's not enough to acknowledge this or intellectually show some type of rationale towards it. By an act of faith, we have to receive him as Savior and Lord. We confess it with our mouths, and as an act of faith, receive him into our heart. When we do that, that's it. Those are the steps. I mean, it's that simple. So understanding all those things, And then just always allowing for the prompting of the Holy Spirit of when to share and when to talk. And I will tell you, you establish a relationship with somebody, you just ease into conversations and then eventually turn those into gospel conversations. I'm encouraging all of you right now as your fellow believer, as your brother in Christ, that now is the time. We have an open door, an open window. It is time to share our faith. All right. We need not being combative, but being relational. All right. Relational matters. And then are we being discipled and are we discipling? These are all the key components of walking in faith with Christ. And that is so important. And so what we're hoping here is that you get, our prayer is that we pray, and we're going to pray right now in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ, that anybody who does not know Christ, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and resurrecting to give me eternal life. I now open the door and ask you to come in to my life and take over as I receive you as Savior and Lord and as my King. Take my life, make me into who you want me to be. I pray this in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I thank you for saving me and forgiving me. Amen. That's it. That's the sinner's prayer. And you pray that. And if you just prayed it and received Christ, you are now part of the family of God. You're an adopted son or daughter of Jesus. And now he wants to have a relationship with you and he wants to walk with you. And he wants you to be discipled. He wants you to not only be discipled and then learn how to make other disciples and lead others to Christ and make disciples. So these are the pieces of the faith. And it's very simple. You know what? We're reaching people for Christ. We equip them and then we send them out. We go. I mean, that's it. Reach, equip, go. And that's really the message that we bring. Reach, equip, go. And that's really going to be, that's kind of our, that's where the discipleship plan is. And the equipping is the discipleship part. So what we're hoping is that everybody's starting to take this in, that you guys understand that this is the model of the gospel that was left for us by not only Jesus, but also the apostles. And it is us, it is our burden and our blessing to be able to carry that on. And we have to be in Christ. We have to be praying to God for him to show us how to do that, to providing the resources to do it. And we got to take that time to do it. And it's just taking the time. You know, it's, you know, turn the TV off, get rid of some of this other stuff that's kind of in your way, and then get focused on Jesus Christ. Get focused on the Lord. And so as we are starting to embark on all this, you're going to start hearing this thing called the gospel is. The gospel is a grassroots movement in which we are going to be reaching out. And it's going to be our prelude to the God-centered concept discipleship series. It is the prelude. And we're going to be coming out. We're going to be talking to people in different ways, both on these broadcasts that we're doing, on the podcast, on the TV show, on our radio station spots. But also, we're going to be doing it in person in different locations and planting disciples. This is discipleship planting. It's not church planting. It's discipleship planting and reaching people for Christ. Now is the time. This is the calling. And the mission is now on us. All right. And we got Jesus Christ inside of our hearts to lead us. So we get to lead. He leads us in peace. And that's the great part. It's not going to feel like this horrible, heavy burden because the Holy Spirit is in there guiding you and leading you. I am so glad that you guys have joined us today. And I just pray now. I want to end this one in this prayer. Lord, I just pray over every person listening to the show and every person that will listen and who could be connected to any of these listeners. And I pray that now is the time that the eyes and the ears of their hearts will be open for the seeds of the gospel and God's truth to stay, take, and grow deep roots. And that they're all going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I pray that we are making disciples, that every person here will learn, will be discipled, and will learn to make disciples, obeying what you gave us, the great in fulfilling the Great Commission. It is the greatest honor to get to do that, Lord. And thank you for giving us that. Thank you for letting us share in the kingdom with that and sharing the message and sharing the rewards with you for doing that, the eternal rewards that we will receive one day. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you do. We pour out our hearts to you. We lift our hands to you, and we thank you for all that you've done. We pray this in the name and by the power of the name and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, thanking you for all that you do for us. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's show. Make sure you hit that follow, subscribe button, and give us a like as we enjoy bringing you this great content. We are so blessed to be able to do that and have you as our part of our community. Thank you so much, and God bless you. And now, as I always depart, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Thank you for listening to today's episode. And we just want to give a big shout out to Richardson, Texas, who is a community that is a big supporter of our show. And they download a lot of shows and listen to everything that we put out there. And we just want to say we thank you for that. And we hope at some point that we can come visit you and be able to minister to you guys and to bring you the God-centered concept to your area. And that goes for every area we've given shout outs to. And if you want us to come to your area, then get more people to download our show, as that is the areas that we want to focus on are the ones that are really listening and tuning in. And we want to be able to come to you guys and be able to minister to you the discipleship program that we have in person and getting you guys connected to our online programs. So please reach out to us. Let us know that you're listening. We see it in our downloads and our numbers, but we also, if you give us a message, we can also respond that way. Thank you guys so much for being great listeners, Richardson, Texas. We are praying for you, and we pray the gospel continues to impact you and our show impacts you in every way. God bless every one of you, and thank you. And we hope to hear from you soon.